conversation.
Yeah, all right, I fucked up. I fucked up the cold open by getting the wrong team, and so we're back. With no cold open, I fucked it up, and I take full responsibility, gentlemen.
You know what? I can appreciate your candor.
Go sit in a corner.
No.
You know what? Present yourself for 40 lashings.
All right. So, yeah, I fucked up the cold open. We were talking about football, and I got the Falcons coach mixed up with the Texans head coach, Bill O'Brien, who got fired today. Let's be honest. The Falcons head coach probably...
He's on his way.
Yeah. So, anyway, guys, we're back. I'm Matt. We got our normal friends with us, Jake.
Hello.
Jason.
Oh,
Pete's back for his second episode.
Hey, what's up?
Everybody loves Pete.
Jerk faces.
Last time Pete was on, we had like a huge spike in downloads and listens. So, welcome back.
Because I'm freaking awesome, guys.
You are pretty freaking awesome.
I'm pretty freaking awesome.
I do love you.
Nah, you know what? Pretty freaking is a little bit of an understatement. I'm going to go pretty fucking.
I was going to say, I'll openly admit this. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a difficult person to be friends with. It even amazes me how, like, just over the years since me and Matt have got back in touch, how easily I've just, not easy on a few of them, but the majority of Matt's friends, it just, there's always something I don't like about somebody. You have an amazing core, people.
I've never had a problem with cutting shitty people out of my life.
Yeah, and
sometimes it might take too long.
I've seen you take your time on it, buddy.
But
You're trying to give someone the benefit of the doubt. If I've noticed it, or you're trying to give them a chance to, like, maybe there's something else going on.
And it's been to a detriment of some other friendships that I feel like I'm still trying to fucking rectify that. But you know,
but at least you're trying.
At least you're trying.
I try and keep shitty people out of my life because I just don't. I don't fucking need that shit around me.
I was telling Jake earlier, because kind of hit a moment earlier, like a wall earlier. Glad Christopher didn't notice. But I was like broke down earlier, because like I hit a wall, my shoulder just these surges of pain were coming, and it was just blunt. It was just driving me fucking nuts. But then I just started to, like, as I started to get depressed, I got like instantly happy, because I started to think about just, you know, the last few years, and you, and Jake, and Pete, and Jake Moe, and then just, it's keeping me going.
I mean, David.
David, too, of course. Phil. Sorry, David. David, Phil, everybody.
Jaden, to maybe a lesser extent, but no, still.
Jaden's a good guy. I like Jaden.
I just don't know him
as well as I know everybody else. That's really what it is.
Anyway, guys, I want to start with something fun.
Yes.
And, it's going to actually start off sounding not so fun, but we didn't talk about the debate on this yet, right?
Oh, no.
So the biggest thing I think came out of the debate was Trump not...
deflecting instead of actually vocalizing he denounces
white supremacy. I've seen people argue, like, well, he said sure, he would denounce white supremacy. He said sure, and I'm like, yeah, sure is a real strong fucking answer, isn't it? Like,
yeah. That makes me confident.
But anyway,
the part that got me was him saying, "Yeah, stand by." Like, wait, what?
And so that was the thing. Is he met the Proud Boys were brought up directly,
yes.
And they were very proud about that, ironically. But then something happened on Twitter that was just fucking awesome.
It's just wonderful. And
a bunch
it
of
so great.
Gay guys. Hold on. Anyway, so a bunch of the LGBTQ community on Twitter basically just hijacked the hashtag Proud Boys and just started posting a bunch of pictures of some awesome gay couples and just some you know, fabulous gay men, and they took over the hate group's fucking hashtag, and it's wonderful.
Oh,
and
I love it.
I love it so much.
The greatest thing. Like, oh, it makes sense, too. Like, all right, they're proud. Gotcha.
Well, that's the thing that I've always thought of when I hear Proud Boys, and I'm like, first time I heard about it, I was like, that could have easily been a name for a fucking, like, gay pride group.
Yeah, man, I get it. I think it's great. It really, like, sticks it to these fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious.
Well, alright, so, like, my uncle's been openly gay my entire life. Like, my son was a ring bearer at his wedding. You know, the he whole nine. So, like, me, like, I'm half tempted to find a picture of my uncle and my two uncles, my Uncle Andrew, who's my biological uncle, and his husband, Javier.
And fucking...
And just post it with hashtag Proud Boys.
That's actually important.
Yeah.
You know?
Fucking Jesus.
It wouldn't be a podcast if we weren't getting knocks on the door.
The fuck!
Within the first 5 minutes, it's tradition.
It just...
So anyway, Jason, you didn't get to say your thoughts on the Twitter LGBT community taking over the Proud Boy hashtag.
Okay.
It's obvious everybody on this podcast we are allies. We
first off,
we don't give a fuck if you're gay.
It's not hard. Here, I'm gonna make this easy for all you dumb fucks out there trying to justify Trump's response. I condemn white supremacy. There. Whoa. Oh. Shit. That was
yeah,
fucking hard.
Oh, that was the touchdown.
I condemn Proud Boys. I condemn fucking any Nazi bullshit.
And we all condemn.
How fucking hard is it to say that?
And the people trying to say, well, he said sure.
He literally stumbled through that question like he didn't know how to answer it. Like, are you fucking serious? It's a joke. I even had to argue with my father about it. I was like, are you fucking kidding me, Dad? Like, I know Biden sounded like shit, but the man couldn't even condemn white supremacy. That was... But you're focused on Biden fucking... His little trip-ups and talking shit to Trump. Like, are you kidding me? Trump's been talking shit for the last 2 fucking years, and you're mad that Biden's talking shit back to him the one fucking time on a debate stage?
Yeah, I mean, he called him a clown, and they're like, oh, how dare he name... And I'm like, that's Trump's M.O. He has a fucking nickname for everybody.
And then I had to explain to my father about the veteran thing. I was
Do
like,
they
Dad,
think Sleepy Joe is a fucking, like... Like, nice nickname? It's not meant to be.
Well, and the other part is that set me off is that when Biden was trying to talk about his son, the one that's dead, that had cancer, that was a fucking veteran.
Oh, yeah, that shit was awful.
I was like, what
he goes, oh, I don't know Bo. I only know Hunter. And it's like, so, yeah, you're just...
Dismissing
the fucking war veteran that's fucking dead.
That had cancer, you fucking useless piece of shit. Just to take a political jab at him? And I even had to point out my dad. I was like, yeah, Dad, Biden may have said a few things to Trump, like called him a clown and all that shit, and told him to shut up when he kept interrupting him the entire fucking time. But here's the thing. When Trump decided to make comments about Biden's son, and not even just his veteran son, but some of the addiction, I said Biden didn't say shit about his kids. Didn't even go there.
I mean, it's a common belief.
Didn't even
that
mention the fact that Don Jr. looked like he was coked out of his
mind. Don Jr. constantly looks like he's coked out of his mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I imagine it takes quite a cocktail of drugs to be Don Jr. But.
Yeah,
so,
true.
The one thing I was, like, I do give Biden a lot of credit for not going there. And then, you know, just the fact that, like, when Trump was, like, attacking, you know, Bernie's son, and just being like, you know, talking
Biden's
about
son.
His, or Biden's son, talking about Biden's son and saying, you know, about his addiction. And he was like, you know what? Yeah, my son had an addiction and I stayed with him and I went through it and he's
that was
clean
beautiful.
Now. I was like, you know what? That's all you can ask for, man.
That was a fucking perfect response.
And yeah. I'm telling you as a father, like, I was watching that whole thing and I talked to my father the next day, I got angry with him. I mean, he said, well, we'll talk more later because you could tell I was getting angry. And I was like, Dad, you knew when I came to you, I told you I was on struggling with pills. I told you I was doing meth. And you didn't judge me. You didn't make me feel like shit. You just told me I could not be in your house unless I was serious about getting clean. And I was. And then you stuck by me. I said, seeing that Biden do that, and yeah, people fuck up.
You know, Trump's brother was an alcoholic, and Trump used to fucking berate him and fucking use it against him all the fucking time.
Of course, you want to tell me Trump hasn't
also,
done drugs? I'm gonna laugh in your face.
He also likened his brother's occupation of being a fucking pilot, like a fucking passenger plane pilot, to being a bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this shows. Why? Okay, no, we caught up.
No, and
froze
it's
up
just,
for a second there.
And also, like I told my dad, I was like, Dad, you know, I said Biden talking about standing by his son, and I said, you should, of all people, shouldn't be able to relate to that. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, I can't even believe this is still an issue. I don't think the man's going to vote for either one, but
I can't believe people can listen to what he says. And like I say, I'm not talking about watching CNN or any of that shit. Just purely intake the things that Trump says and not dislike him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand.
Dude, I mean, me and Jake talk about this regularly. We don't get our own community and their obsession with him. It's cultish, and it's disturbing because it's like literally we fought a war against that kind of ideology.
Oh, by the way, fuck Caitlyn Bennett for wearing a Trump is my king shirt.
Yeah, that's disgusting. That is... Yeah, yeah, Trump is my king shit.
You know who that is? Remember the...
shirt just disgusts me.
Remember the Kent State gun girl?
Oh, that girl?
Yeah.
She's a fucking landmine. She's totally okay with Trump being a king.
Yeah,
patriarchy. Because as she put, I actually looked at the quotes and stuff. She's talked about it. He's going to help usher in the kingdom of God.
Because he's the Antichrist.
That was my argument. I was like,
because he's the Antichrist.
I was like, you know what? Trump might actually convince me God exists because he just might be the Antichrist. I mean.
All right, let's get the last of the political stuff out of the way because I know it's not Pete's favorite topic. Yeah. It's
my least favorite this fucking
Donald part. Trump has COVID. He has tested positive, but he's also already, as of tonight, back in the White House, no mask, interacting with staff.
Some of the staff's already even tested fucking positive, too. Like, a few housekeepers, they were told to, like, talk about discretionary. I said that wrong. It's a fucking
shit discretion.
Show. Yeah, and then he drags the Secret Service men out there for a fucking...
To fucking wave, God. To stroke his own fucking ego. And you notice that you didn't see any fucking pictures of these well-wishers that they're talking about. Although I did see one picture where a woman was walking around carrying a cell phone, holding a sign that said, Amish for Trump.
I don't know what to do with that.
I'm kind of stumped on that one.
So,
I mean, that's like being Hispanic for Trump.
I believe the woman was Hispanic.
I work with a Mexican dude who supports Trump.
And I'm not. I don't think I'm going out of line here by saying I don't really believe there's a lot of Hispanic Amish people.
Probably not.
No. Yeah. I also saw a picture of a couple of older white folk wearing a T-shirt that said "Blacks for Trump." Which
whew. I don't know what's worse though, because I saw one in Santee finally. I'd rather be Russian than Democrat.
Yeah, I saw that T-shirt.
I was all like, right. Really, people? Really? That's where we're at.
I'm gonna change the subject. We're getting off this, and we're gonna talk about something near and dear to my heart.
Thank you.
And that is the historic comeback in the 3-game wild card series by the San Diego Padres.
Are you still, two? Masturbating to that?
I'm still living on that high, and I can't wait till tomorrow to play the Dodgers. I don't know who's pitching for us.
Pecker is raw with sores from all the vapping.
But, to recap, they lose game one, and they really got shellacked.
They got shellacked Paddock, in game one, they did.
Paddock may not pitch again in this fucking playoffs because of that, but I'm hoping he has a redemption moment later in the playoffs.
Use him as relief or something?
That's how I kind of see it going down. He comes in relief and maybe gives us 3 strong innings and fucking saves the day that specific day. But so they lose game one. Game two starts out almost the same. By the end of the second inning,
yeah, because you sent a message.
By the end of the second inning, it's 4-0 Cardinals. At that point, I turned it off because I feel like if I watch sometimes that they're more likely to lose than if I fucking turn it off. So I would peek back in and whatnot. So by the 6th inning, I peek in again, and they got the bases loaded and Tatis is up. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to watch this at bat. The next pitch, 3-run homer, and he fucking, as he hits the homer, he's going towards first base, he just sort of glares.
Was it a grand slam or a 3-run?
It was 3-run.
Oh, okay. Because you said the bases were loaded.
The bases weren't loaded. Anyway. He glares at the fucking dugout, and you could just see, like, that was the moment. Like, you could just feel things are about to fucking click.
Like
things are about to change.
It's like when Poppy hit the thing in Boston.
You get that
momentum. Like Johnny Damon hit the grand slam.
You pull momentum.
Yeah, it's one of those moments.
Especially when you give your team that, like, Just that fire, you give him a spark for that fire now. You know,
he didn't have to say anything. He just fucking glared at him as he rounded or ran to first. So I'm like, all right, cool. It's now 6-5, sixth inning. Up comes Manny. All right, I'm gonna watch Manny. If he doesn't get a hit here, I'll turn it off again. Manny, fucking third pitch, crushes it to fucking left field.
Nice.
Tie game. So now I'm in. Yeah. But I didn't watch any of the pitching. I couldn't watch the pitching.
I did.
I couldn't watch it.
That strikeout was gorgeous.
We fast forward. Tatis comes up. His next at bat, I believe. Fucking Oppo crushed to right field home run. And he does the bat flip of the century that still has fucking people that aren't Padre fans fucking pissing their pants.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pull this up now, guys.
Epic bat flip.
I'm on Twitter, and I love how
fucking salty some of these people are getting. And I've had to remind a few people, I'm like, do you guys not watch baseball? Have you not understood what the Padre fan base has gone through? Let them fucking have this. Shut the fuck up.
So, actually... Before he hit that one, Will Myers also hit a home run.
Myers one was.
And so then Myers comes up again in the.
I scared Christopher because I was like, "Woo!"
Myers, right? Here's the bat flip. Yeah,
dude, Myers for me, like,
I gotta check this.
I love Will Myers.
Oh, you can tell when he swung it.
Oh, just fucking!
Oh, that was gorgeous.
God, that got my dick hard. That's good shit.
Oh yeah. God, I love that kid.
Get up, guys.
And everybody who's saying he's disrespectful and all of this shit.
Dude, he's doing it to his own team.
You wouldn't know stuff when Sammy Sosa was doing the same shit doing the fucking thing with Mark McGwire. Get the fuck out of here.
You wouldn't say shit if he was on your team.
Exactly.
You wouldn't. Anyway, by the end of the game, the Padres fucking come out on top. I think, believe it was 11-9.
11-9, yeah.
And it's not technically a record, but for the second time in Major League history, two players from the same team had a multi-home run game in the same game. And the last time that happened,
They were back in the same order. It was in the same order.
No, Machado was up after Tatis.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
But anyway, the last teammates to have a multi-home run game together in a playoff game were fucking Ruth and Gehrig.
Jesus. In the World Series.
In 1932, I believe.
Yes.
Now,
82 years to the day before.
Next day, elimination game. Padres have nobody to start because we know Lamet and Clevinger aren't available. Yep. We know Davies pitched the day before. We know Paddock pitched the day before
That's the game I was worried about was game three.
So the ball
never crosses.
They start Stamen, who has, if you've been following the Padres this year, he has not been solid. But he comes out and he gives us two fucking innings, and the Padres would go on to pitch 9 pitchers. And for the first time in Major League history, 9 relief pitchers combined for a 9-inning shutout.
Jesus. Just 9 pitchers? Holy shit.
9 pitchers for a 9-inning complete game shutout.
That's wonderful.
That's great.
And by the way,
I like the 9-inning shutout, but I'm just saying, like, 9 pitchers? Holy crap.
I was gonna say, all the shit people talk about your guys' bullpen, I mean.
The bullpen was a huge question mark.
Well, they went through the entire bullpen, that's for sure.
Yeah. And they fucking guys fucking stepped up, and they did something no fucking bullpen has ever done before.
And that wasn't an easy Cardinals team to shut down either. So I mean, I don't think the Cardinals get enough.
No, I've seen a lot of Cardinals fans saying that they could tell that their team lost on that first Tatis home run in Game 6.
Yeah.
It went from the Padres being the dejected, quiet dugout. And it just,
you gotta. He's definitely been that spark for the fire, man.
My mom.
He gets everybody amped.
Is a Padre like you, and she's like pumped, and I've never seen her this fucking excited.
Everybody in this city knows who the fuck Fernando Tatis Jr. is now, and everybody who's a baseball fan, and a lot of them who aren't a baseball fan across the country. They all know now who the fuck Fernando Tatis Jr. is, and that kid is here to stay. And I keep seeing the motherfuckers.
The James Shield thing was funny, too.
Oh, James Shields was awesome because he was the guy that we traded to get Tatis. Mm-hmm. But he was also traded by the Rays to get Will Myers.
Yes.
So that means that he was traded single-handedly for 4 home runs in that game. And I love that he has a sense of humor about it, and that he's fucking cool about it. So now we got the Dodgers. Let's see if they've announced a starting pitcher for tomorrow. I know that I'm pretty sure the Dodgers are pitching Walker Buehler tomorrow.
I need 10 fucking points.
Yeah, so Buehler's pitching tomorrow, although from what I've heard, he's had a blister issue, which is why he didn't pitch in the first series. Padres, nothing announced, but there is talk that Clevinger and Lament will be ready for this fucking series, and that changes a whole fucking lot.
Oh, yeah, it does.
For the San Diego Padres.
This is very true.
Because you now have Clevinger, who's one of the best pitchers in the game, and then you have fucking Lament, who is a Cy Young candidate this year, back to a team that desperately needs starting pitching. Anyway, I'm done gushing about my Padres. Next week, obviously, if you listen to this, you can pay attention. But we'll talk about what happened during this week on next week's episode, and hopefully we're breaking down an NLCS series for the Padres.
Hopefully against the Braves, because I think the Marlins are tricky.
And by the way, if they do take down the Dodgers, it's...
You're going to masturbate to that.
I hope that the Dodgers are taking the same stance as their fans and being extremely dismissive of the Padres.
I think
acting like this is the same old fucking Padres, because it's fucking not.
It is not.
And I say this staring at my 98 Padres homage wall over there, and I think that if you put this team up in a fucking 7-game series against that team, this team wins. And I'm saying that about a team that had Tony Gwynn on it.
I think you put the Padres against most competitive, the top teams in the World Series or in the NLCS, and they might win. They have just that team. And I mean, I've been here since 2003.
I've never in my life seen an MLB post saying that the best roster in the best lineup in baseball belongs to the San Diego Padres.
And it's everything. It's not just one thing.
So.
Oh, yeah. No,
so
it's completely different.
As somebody who does not follow any baseball at all, the one thing I can say is that, like, I mean, they've definitely got a passion this year that I've seen them play with. And whether or not it's because they got a shortened season, I don't know. I don't really care. But it is showing in the fact that, like, I mean, like you said, they the first game, they just got destroyed. And then, but they seem to come out on top when they need to. So... that's awesome, and it's fun to watch.
And I don't know how many times this year I've seen Myers and Tatis hit homers when they absolutely fucking need them.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I'm so happy for Will Myers, man.
Me too.
We've talked about this already.
I like Will Myers. I've liked him since Tampa, so I'm really happy to see. And I remember all the flack he was getting, because you're not the only major Padre fan I know, and they were giving him a lot of shit. So it's good.
Will's thing is... and this is not a knock on him. This is just how some people are. Will is not built to be the face of the franchise.
No, no.
It's just not who he is.
I don't think he ever wanted to.
No, he didn't. He really didn't. And
they wanted him to, and he kind of forced him to.
2016,
he
kind of not only became the face of the franchise, he became the face of the city for sports.
Well, and that's...
and that was like, no, he doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. And so now... that Tatis is firmly in that role and thriving in it.
Yeah.
Things are different. Oh, yeah.
Well, and plus your management's just different. They're more aggressive. Like, the Clevinger thing was nice.
Well played.
Well, the thing about Clevinger is that's not a one-year rental.
No.
You have this guy's rights for 2 years, and who's to say he doesn't want to stay?
And you guys, especially seeing what he's seeing.
Talking about a Florida kid who's a fucking total hippie surfer who spent his last fucking 3 years in Cleveland.
He's going to be happy.
He's very happy to be in California.
Yeah. I mean, I can't.
He's very happy. His nickname is Sunshine. And
Sunshine!
He's got a sunflower patch on his glove and on the mask that he wears.
Why do you think the Cleveland fans weren't pissed when LeBron decided to go to L.A.? They're like, okay, you got us a title. We get it now. They're like, you're good here. You can leave now.
What, though, Cleveland fans were pissed that Clevinger got traded away.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, I had a buddy on my ship. He's a big Indians fan. He was not happy about it.
if anyway.
Yeah.
So
I got us topic.
He's got a topic.
NBA Finals. Either way,
Jimmy Butt.
Man, freaking
LeBron walk off the fucking court with like 10 seconds left. I'm like, I'm sorry. That's the kind of stuff that, like, people try to, oh, he's not like MJ. I'm like, really? Because Michael Jordan didn't the, or no, that was the Pistons that walked off the court. But, I'm just like, MJ wasn't exactly the nicest guy in the world. So it's like, stop that shit with that crap. Like,
LeBron's an asshole.
Yeah, LeBron's super competitive. And there was 10 seconds left in the game. They were already going to fucking lose. Like, I don't know why people are making a big deal about it.
What I will say, though, is like, I mean, I did like Jimmy Buckets, like, post-game interview. And first thing they said to him was like, man, you know, a historic triple-double in the NBA Finals. And he's like, I don't care about that. He's like, we got the win. He's like, I'm not. He wasn't caring about the numbers. He's the player that goes out there and does what he needs to do.
He's been doubted for so long.
Yeah, I mean, well, when he came in the league, nobody thought he was going to be the defensive player that he is.
I have totally forgot he even played for the Bulls.
What about his interaction with Charles? Charles goes, I got a question. You haven't been to the barber much in the bubble, or so, he made
that's
like
not
a statement,
question.
And then Jimmy Butler just goes, "That's not a question."
Like a skunk.
I just took a dab.
But yeah, oh, like man, I will say, like I will say that like watching that game yesterday, I was talking to my roommate, and I was like, man, the thing about this game is, either way, whoever wins, man, it doesn't, you know, it's not a big deal to me. If the Lakers win, LeBron gets another ring, cool, man. I'm actually happy to see that guy get another one. I think he deserves it.
But at the same time,
like, I've been a Jimmy Buckets fan for a while now, just because he's got that grind in him. And so for him to go and win a NBA fucking championship, I think he deserves it too. So either way, like, I'm going to be happy. But I was telling my roommate, you know, this game, if the Heat don't win this game, I don't see him coming back from 3-0.
No.
So this was a much needed win for them, and they did it. And they did it without Bam Adebayo. Without Dragic.
I saw LeBron had 25 points. AD had like what, 9? I think 11.
Yeah. Even Jimmy Buckets said, he was like, it was a team effort. Everybody was putting in work, but it was definitely led by Jimmy. It was a great game to watch. I was into it the whole time. I was like, wow,
it's actually
been
great. A good series, I think, for the most part.
I thought game one was too much of a blowout
for
me.
That was a beatdown,
I was like, oh, man, this
game
is hard to watch.
But game two was a little bit better.
Well, it's a chess match, man. You gotta figure out people's moves and what they're going to do. And I think the Heat's plan was never to make this a four-game run. I think they're... I mean, they would have been happy if they closed out in four games, but
yeah.
I don't think they thought it was going to be over in four. So
if the Heat
definitely
win, it's going to be in seven.
I definitely think they planned for seven games, and this is what they're doing. So
the only reason I want LeBron to win is just because, as much crap as I give the guy, he is the best player of our generation. And so,
I just don't understand why so many people hate the guy. Like,
I don't get it.
He's
either.
Never had off-field issues. He's never fucking...
He's been a pillar of the community,
I
man.
Was going to say, he's been more of a...
He's a fucking family man, and he has been his whole career.
He's put so much into his own community, it's fucking insane.
And yet so many people just fucking hate him, and the only thing they can say is, well, he's arrogant. And I'm like, well, wouldn't
so?
You be?
You came into the National Basketball Association at 8 fucking teen, and you instantly made an impact. You took probably the worst Cleveland team I've ever seen to a finals. Yeah, you got swept by the Spurs. It's probably the worst finals I've ever seen. But the fact that he got that team there is fucking amazing.
Yeah, he did it, you know.
He did that. Like, nobody else did that. There definitely was not the rest of that fucking Cleveland team.
Right. All right, we're going to take our first break here, guys.
All righty.
All right, we're back for segment two. Warning here, this is going to be graphic. This is not going to be a fun segment. So if you want to skip ahead... go ahead and do so. I don't know when the timestamp will be, but Pete's going to talk about something tragic that happened in his life in the last few months. And,
basically, what's going on with it, so up to now.
You're right.
So, a few months ago, one of my brothers was murdered.
On his birthday?
On his birthday. Two blocks away from me. Sucked. When it happened, I didn't even want to fucking believe it, man. When I got that phone call, I was like, you guys got to stop playing with me. I'm literally 3 hours from going over to fucking pick him up and take him out. I'm like, it's ridiculous. Stop playing around. Kind of went into like a little shell for a few weeks.
Understandably.
Well, it was more of like I was trying to be around my family and help them out with their stuff and all the shit that they had going on. Trying to take care of like funeral arrangements and stuff like that, which, dude, that was probably like the hardest thing was taking care of that. And it almost didn't even sink in. I don't think it really sank in until like I went with my mom to go identify the body at the mortuary, and seeing him later, that was probably like one of the hardest days of my life. I was talking to my brother later on, and he had seen me later that day, and he was like, dude, you didn't even seem like yourself. He's like, usually you have like a, you know, you're always joking around, having fun. He's like, you were just like there. He's like, I don't know what was going on. I was like, man, I see my brother laid out on the table. I don't know what to tell you. So what ended up happening was on my brother's birthday, his roommate is some girl that apparently she has a drug addiction to meth, and she's got mental issues too. These are all apparently what contributed to it, but she ended up getting into a physical fight, like attacking my brother, and hit him in the chest with a like bar stool chair.
Jesus.
Apparently 3 to 4 times. And so we just got the autopsy back, and they said it was he died from a heart attack caused by blunt force trauma to the chest from an item for 3 to 4 blows to the chest. So
Jesus.
Yeah. So she apparently got into some, like, she flipped out, lost her wig, and attacked my brother and caused his heart attack. He ended up dying. She's currently in jail. Tomorrow is going to be a court date, but I just found word that it's going to be a continuance because the autopsy came back. They got to give the defense attorney enough time to go over it, and the DA is happy with it too because it actually gives them time to figure out exactly what they're going to charge her with.
Next course of action.
Yeah. So, well, because originally they gave her pretty much like assault charges with bodily injury. Like it was. Well, no. Like I mean, it was like basically like it was like manslaughter with great bodily injury.
Oh, okay.
Was the original charges because you know they didn't have the autopsy back and he did have drugs in his system. So and they knew it, so they didn't. They had to have proof that it wasn't the drugs that killed him before they could up the charges.
That makes sense.
And then, so, this gives the DA more time to go over it and figure out exactly what they want to charge her with, this and that. I'm actually kind of happy with this, too, because apparently the girl got offered a plea bargain for 2 years back, you know, a little while back ago, and her dumbass turned it down, and she could have gotten off with 2 years, and now she's going to be facing like murder charges. So,
well, especially if it's not first offense for it, for whatever it is, she's yeah. already going to look at more time because she has a history.
Well, I don't know how that's affecting anything into this right now. Like, I mean, yes, you're right. That does all like take effect into it. But what's going on with it? Like, I mean, as far as this whole thing that's going on, they were giving her a plea bargain down to 2 years, and I think it was for like, you know, bodily injury. That led to an accidental death or something like that. She turned it down, and then now, which actually works in our favor because now they're gonna up the charges, and because she turned it down, if she had taken the plea bargain, she would have been fine where she was. She would have been doing 2 years. They wouldn't have been able to up the charges, and you know, it wouldn't have mattered. Jesus. But now she's definitely gonna be going for a lot longer. So I'm kind of happy with. So far, I mean, honestly, you know, bitch can rot in prison for me.
It just blows me away that they got...
I get that can't do murder one because there's no premeditation.
Yeah, but she still used a fucking bar stool.
It's still murder.
Yeah, like, yeah. That's the part that I'm like, how the fuck did they even get to that first part when she's using a bar stool and striking somebody in the fucking chest? Like, that just blows my fucking mind.
And my brother is, he was 45, it was his 45th birthday, but, I mean, guy's been to prison, he's done time, he's been in riots, the guy knows how to defend himself. Mm-hmm. The girl hit him in the chest with a chair, do you think the guy knows how to defend himself? Like, well, no, the point is like, she, it was obviously, like, something out of the blue.
Yeah.
Like, he would have, like yeah. How are you going to get a bar stool to somebody's chest without them putting up their arms or something?
Good point.
You know?
Sucker shot of them kind of thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly how everything went down, but that's what I can prove so far. I have my theories on some things that I just don't want to really go into that.
Well,
but,
she has a mental history, and then which means she could be schizophrenic, bipolar. I mean, that adds the mania of it. I mean,
yeah, I'm gonna show you. So I actually looked at this girl's fucking Facebook recently, and I'll pull up something really quick just so that you guys can see the level of crazy this bitch was in. So that happened in July 14th. June 6th was her like last post, but like January 31st. I can't even, it's going to be so hard to read this just because it's so weird to, like, how she worded this. I got these people who are acting like idiots. If I were to explain the shit that they do, like, now no one believes me. I'm in a world of my own, trying to escape reality. On every corner of my world, there's ammunition. There's all kind of kind words, guns, statements, sabotaging? I don't even know what that word is. Sabocking. I don't know. She's.
I think it's supposed to be sabotaging.
Sabotaging. Snapping. Computers. Phones. Cars. Engines. So this is stealing. Just like, she's just, like, scrambling. She's, like, all over the place.
She's probably on something.
Basically, like, I'm. Yeah. Yeah,
she's mad at
her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's just, like, the level of crazy this bitch is. But, I mean, like I said, bitch can rot in prison. She took my brother from me.
Yeah. Yep.
So
yeah,
but hopefully. So that's kind of like where we're at now. Like they're continuing. We were gonna try to go to court tomorrow. We found out today that like I found out today that we can't even go in, which makes sense because of COVID. But you know, like you know, they're it's gonna end up as a continuation. So,
but how long is the continuation? Because I know COVID.
I think it's a little while. Actually. Like it'll probably be like a few weeks. But I mean, by law, they like. No, they have to give the attorney time to go over
the
info. So she's probably kicking herself for not making her client take the plea bargain.
After I was gonna say, well, for everything you told,
literally in the autopsy,
2 years.
Literally in the autopsy, it says heart attack due to blunt force trauma from 3 to 4 blows to the chest.
Like, I've done meth, and I can tell you right now, if I've been in that situation, I would still know I murdered that guy, and I'd be like, I'll take the 2 years. Like, she's fucking stupid. I wish she's just, drugs.
I do want to say, though, like, that is astonishing to me that they were only going to give her 2 years.
That blows me fucking away.
I think you were hinting at that earlier, and I kind of just overruled it. But, yeah, like, that's astonishing that they would even...
That sounds like they're just
but at the same time, like,
the cases and, like...
I think they were just trying to get her through it.
Get
and,
this
like,
one, yeah. But
she was a dumbass, and... She's gonna suffer for it even more. I think, you know.
Well, what's crazy, like I was telling you earlier about my niece, the guy, that was actually his second DUI too.
Yeah.
So and he only got 4 years for killing. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And it wasn't murder. It was like I think manslaughter or something like that.
So we'll get an update from Pete on that.
Yeah.
Once goes to trial.
Yeah. So I mean, like I said, like I went into like a little bubble for a little while, and a couple weeks, like a few weeks back. I just decided, I was like, you know what, I can't keep doing this. I got to get out of this, like, rut that I'm in.
Dude, I'm
so I started going out again.
Over.
Yeah, and I mean, the point was, like, I was, like, literally, like, locking myself in my room.
Oh,
like, I just was like, I don't want to go out. Like, the only other thing I was doing was taking care of my grandfather. So unless I was doing that, I was in my room just, like, staring at a TV. I wasn't even playing video games. Like, I was just staring at a TV, just out of it. And I was like, you know what, like, this is not going to help me. I was like, you know, like, I feel the depression surrounding me. I was like, I was like, I got to get out of here. I got to start doing stuff. And I started going back out again, man. Like, you know, like, meeting up with friends. Like, I started coming over here. I started going out with friend Phil, best friend Phil, and, you know, started going out again, man. Like, that's all you can really do. But, like, you know, when people talk about depression, like, dude, I totally get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, when it surrounds you, man, it you could look fine to everybody else, but you know, like, honestly, when I was going through it, it wasn't like I was sitting there crying and bawling my tears out, you know, like, I just was literally, like, knocking myself away from everybody. I hate doing that. Like, I'm not that person. I love people. I love talking to people. Actually, honestly, when I'm at work, I hate people, but but I work in a restaurant, so.
I was going to say, given the situation.
But, I mean, usually I'm actually pretty, like, outgoing, friendly, joking around, but I was just like, I don't even want to be around nobody, man. I just don't want to talk to people.
That's how I feel.
And, like, I was like, I don't like being this person, so I started getting myself out of it. So,
that's good.
I can relate. I mean, I know I've talked about it with Matt and Jake, and I don't mind telling you, like, I lost a buddy of mine, like, the guy who got me Diamond.
Yeah.
We were really close. We served together for 4 years, and he just died. I don't know if he killed himself or if he just mixed his pills like he shouldn't have,
because
he just had surgery. And he's also the 9th guy this year that's died on my ship. Like, I swear my ship has a fucking curse.
Damn.
Well, I mean, the ship itself.
Just, oh, then that.
Oh, yeah, the ship. That was the one that was on fire?
That's my ship.
Holy crap. That's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, it was kind of funny at first. Just of all the ships, but then, like.
Real quick wrestling note.
Yes.
Apparently, as a result of last night's takeover match, Kyle O'Reilly has a number of broken teeth. And, and additional injuries.
There, by the way. We'll move on from
12 minutes, 40 seconds.
There's my pen.
No, anybody got a pen? What? Anyway.
I'll text
somebody
you.
Get,
I got you.
Write down 12 minutes, 40 seconds. That's where we can jump from if people don't want to hear the
depressing issue.
Depressing piece story. Anyway, also, sounds like Finn Balor broke his jaw in that match.
Dude, yeah, they threw some stiff fucking chops.
So, one match resulted in broken teeth and a broken jaw.
Holy shit.
So,
on opposite people or
yes,
same person?
Broken
teeth on one and broken jaw.
I watched the whole match. They were throwing some stiff.
They were wrestling some strong style Japan.
That was whose match?
Finn Balor, Kyle O'Reilly. And we're time stamping that because that was where we left Pete's story. Because it can be triggering to some people, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I got some bad news for fans of the Netflix show Glow. Unfortunately, it has been canceled by Netflix. Hopefully, Hulu or Amazon Prime or
somebody's got to pick that up.
Good show.
It's really well done.
It's a really good show. Fucking, I love Marin in that fucking show.
I haven't watched it yet.
Dude, I love Welfare Queen. It's just the best.
It's really good. Yeah, they have one of the girls in the show is a real wrestler who
Awesome
went
Kong.
Under the name Awesome Kong, but she wrestles as Welfare Queen in the show.
And Eddie Guerrero, or not Eddie Guerrero, sorry, Chavo Guerrero does like the match out.
He's in charge of training the girls basically
choreographing.
Yeah.
I've been getting really, I got really into the boys. They got me really into that.
That shirt was in an episode of The Boys.
Yes.
That
two,
very shirt.
Two or three, thing.
I got hooked in the first
no,
2 minutes.
Like, oh, dude, it takes
first
it
2 minutes. Quick. I got hooked. I was like, oh, I'm watching this.
I hadn't seen it yet, so me and him watched the first, like, 3 episodes of season 1, and then...
No, we watched, like, the first 5.
Oh, yeah. First 5. Yeah.
Then we burned out the last 3 and went, watched 2 into the second season, then we watched 3...
I might be able to beat Pete, and Pete's like,
I'm not gonna lie, I went ahead and watched 2 episodes. There's the new one out I haven't watched.
Oh, episode 8?
Yeah. But I'll go back and watch 6-7 with you, of course.
Well, I'm only on episode 3.
You fell asleep during 4, I think.
I thought I fell. I don't remember.
We'll go back and figure it out.
By the way, Chiefs made history tonight. First team in NFL history to start 4-0 in 4 consecutive seasons.
God damn it.
I'm so glad I'm not a Charger fan anymore, because that team would be driving me batshit insane, and instead I get to just enjoy the greatness.
I'm a Raiders fan. I have to deal with it.
I'm surprised this guy to my left, Pete, doesn't already have a Pat Mahomes jersey because...
I have rocked him since
Pete,
he started.
Pete has been on the Pat Mahomes train since fucking
anybody knew
day
about
one.
Him. I picked him up in the eighth round.
Well, I knew about him because of his dad.
I didn't know about him.
Paul Mahomes pitched in the big leagues.
Yeah, for the A's.
Yeah.
My thing is,
speaking of big league pitchers, Bob Gibson passed away today.
Bob Gibson passed away two days ago. Same day the Padres knocked his Cardinals out of the playoffs.
I picked up Pat Mahomes in the eighth round, and nobody knew what was going to happen with him, but I had a great feeling about him because, I mean, I've always liked Alex Smith. I mean, I played with the kid. I call him kid, but he's older than me. But I played with the guy. You know, I always thought he did the same shit back in high school, man. He did check down artists. You know, he managed the games, though. And the guy got the 49ers to a Super Bowl.
I love Alex Smith.
You know, when he was perfect for Andy Reid's fit, but when they let him go, and I was like, I know Andy Reid likes Alex Smith, so if he's letting him go, he's letting him go for a great reason, and that means that he is fully confident in what Pat Mahomes is going to do. And Pat Mahomes came out there and just killed it. And everybody's like, why are you picking up Pat Mahomes? The whole time I was picking up Pat Mahomes in the eighth round. Everybody's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you going to pick up that guy? And I was like, can't watch.
Brutality.
And he came out there and just destroyed everybody. What, 56 touchdowns?
Like
56 touchdowns?
Like that, dude. And not even that. It's just a lot of these passes he was making off like his left foot, off his non-throwing foot. I'm like, what the fuck?
Craziest across the body, like not even looking. Like, oh, he would do like shuffle passes like he's playing basketball.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
What's truly crazy, you mentioned Alex Smith, is the fact that this guy is back on a football field.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because
the way his
leg broke, like, he literally almost
died. On the anniversary of the Theismann?
Everything about that is, like,
freaky
the same.
Fuck.
Phil knows all the stats. It was, like, same score, same type of player, same fucking, just...
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff.
But the fact that he could have died, and he's... been able to come back.
He's had something like 7 surgeries or
something like that. Yeah,
I don't know. He's had a lot.
I'm amazed
right
that he would even want to come back.
I'm surprised his family's even okay with it.
But
hey, man, when you're passionate about if you're passionate about something, you're gonna come back. You're gonna do it. I mean, the guy was smart. I'll give you that. Like, the guy was smart. The guy was always smart in high school. Guy probably could have done whatever he wanted, and he chose he wanted to do football. And, I mean...
He's maybe the greatest safe quarterback ever. He's not going to make any big throws.
He actually did that kind of in the season. In the last season in Kansas City, he was actually taking deep shots down the field. And it blew everyone away because they were like, what's he doing? Like, he never does this. And he was like, yeah, I can still do that. And everyone's like, what the hell? He just threw a 50-yard touchdown. I'm like, that's crazy. And it wasn't no, like, little 5-yard shuffle, and then he takes off for 45 yards for a touchdown. It was like a 35.
But that is his game. That's where he excels, is that dink and dunk and fucking.
Yeah, but, and then he started opening it up in the last season, and everybody was like, holy crap, he can do that?
Well, when you got Tyreek Hill and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill. Or no, Kareem Hunt was more
powerful. By the way, condolences, Jason. I'm sorry. You should have traded Chubb. I didn't know that he was gonna strain his MCL and miss 6 weeks.
Yep.
But you know what? I mean, my heart was in the right place because the guy is
he has
proven to you that
he was good prior.
I thought you were gonna give him condolences for the Cowboys game.
Oh, no, he's
sorry, I had to take that little shot.
He's got a rocky relationship with the Cowboys right now because of the forced Uncle Tomism of Dak Prescott.
And then Jerry's not going to pay him at the end of the year because of how shitty our team is, but it's like the motherfuckers put up 400-something passing yards in 3 straight fucking games.
He's not the reason you're losing.
He's not the fucking problem.
Yeah.
He's clearly a franchise quarterback.
But they're also not putting the ball into fucking Jake's hands enough right now.
No. And that's Mike McCarthy. I was worried. I thought...
You have one of the best running backs in the game. Just fucking give him the ball. And I only say this because he's on one of my fantasy teams. If not, I wouldn't give two shits.
Dude, and we don't have a bad receiving core. We got Amari Cooper. Gallup's not bad.
Sorry, that,
Lamb is good.
That Cooper gave up on that pass, man. That was so terrible. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was watching that, and I was like, that's... You checked out on that
I think
game.
The whole team's honestly starting to check out because of how atrocious our defense is. It's
well,
so...
Dude,
yeah.
Your whole fucking division...
Sorry, man, you gave the Browns
true, the
49 league. Points.
Yeah, I know.
The first place in the division
is
1-2-1.
Yeah, 38. Oh yeah, I know. It's so awful. It's so bad. The Eagles are in the lead at 1-2-1, I think.
Unfucking believable.
I am now yelling at Spooz right now. Who's now taking
the
lead.
He said LOL, yes. So Pete's playing our friend Spooz, and Spooz was messaging me, and he said, "Word, I'll hit you up after football. I might be able to beat Pete." And so
meanwhile, last night he was like pretty much giving up on the week. I was like, "Dude, you have Aaron Rodgers in a primetime game. That's one scary person in primetime. That's like probably the scariest person to play against on a primetime game because he always does well in primetime." And he's like, "Oh, I don't know if I'm gonna do it." And I'm like, "Oh, you're gonna do it, jerk." I hate you, Spooz.
Fucking Kyle, man. Kyle Dennison hits me up earlier, says, "What's up?" I answer him, and 3 hours later, he still hasn't looked at the response.
Oh, he's sending that to me, too.
Okay. Where are we going to go next? So some asshole ran up and sucker-punched Rick Moranis on the streets of New York City.
Rick
Moranis?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
all fucking people.
One of the most gentlest, nicest people of all time. The dude quit acting when his wife passed to take care of his kids.
Yeah, of cancer.
And now that his kids are both in college, he's actually coming back to acting. He did voice acting or whatnot to make money.
He also did a commercial with, I think, Ryan Reynolds.
That was recent.
That was
essentially the beginning of his comeback.
Yeah.
By the way, just the mention of him made me realize it has been so long since I watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
On Disney Plus.
That I'm probably going to have to.
All three of them are on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
That's great.
Even Honey, I Blew Up the Baby.
Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Honey, I Blew Up the Baby and Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves are all on Disney Plus.
One of the worst named movies ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Honey, I
blew
up
the baby.
It's fucking terrible. But, bro,
but I mean, back then, like, that was actually one of my favorite ones out of all three of those.
Yeah,
a mugging, it wasn't a robbery. Somebody
just
ran up and punched
violence.
Him in the face.
Yeah,
like,
while he was walking his dog at like 7:30 in the morning.
So I don't know why I have to say this, but don't punch Rick fucking Moranis.
What the fuck is going on in your life?
Even if he goats you into it, don't punch Rick Moranis. He's a wonderful human being.
Guy is probably like the epitome of like what like the American dad should
class
be.
Class act.
Like, classy for sure. And I mean, bro,
I just don't
Lord Helmet is one of my favorite characters ever.
Ever.
From fucking Spaceballs.
Also,
Little
Shop of Horrors is fucking totally not giving
guys,
a
that's
so,
so many classic
so
movies
good.
From there,
fucking,
guy. So many classic movies. And
Little Giants?
It was always him being like
the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah.
Little Giants is
my dad's
that movie gets slept on, bro.
It, does,
it had Ed
it
O'Neill.
There's so many funny parts of that.
The movie's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I still love the scene when the kid walks up in like the bubble wrap.
Yeah, right.
He's like, "Oh, my mom said I don't have enough. Padding." Walks up in bubble wrap.
All right, so I got a topic here from Jake's notes. Tesla moving corporation from California to Texas.
Yeah. So.
Oh, everybody's dipping out of California.
So Tesla announced that they are, come first of the year or whatnot, they're moving all their operations to Texas because California's trying to pass a law to tax the shit even more out of people and make it even harder for businesses to operate here in California. But unlike most people when they move, most companies when they move to a different state or whatnot, where they lay off almost everyone, Tesla actually offered all of their employees a moving package to include a house and all that stuff, paying for the moving costs and all that stuff, And if you own a house currently in California and you can't sell before the it's time to move, they will buy your house from you at what it's currently worth and then have an agency sell off the house afterwards. So none of their employees lost their jobs.
Well, that's good.
And they're not having to worry about selling their house and worrying about having the money to buy another house.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Elon Musk isn't exactly the greatest individual in the world. But when it comes to taking care of his employees,
Bezos the guy is interesting, that's for sure.
It's more than Bezos would have done.
Very much true.
I mean,
it's more than a lot of...
I just don't like Musk because his narcissism and arrogance sometimes is a little much for me. And then, of course, you know, he does shit like when Kanye came out and said he's running for president. He's like, oh, I'm in.
I gotta say, like, I mean, the guy's out there, but the guy's extremely smart.
That's not the only thing that's moving to Texas by the first year. Joe Rogan and all of his operations
are already over there.
They're already there.
Yeah, they're already over there.
For the same reason, but...
So, staying on the topic of Texas millionaires / billionaires, did y'all hear about this Delonte West, Mark Cuban thing?
No.
So, former NBA player Delonte West, it's well known on the internet that he is an addict.
Yep.
Living on the streets.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. Yep.
So, Mark Cuban saw a post where they were like, Delonte West is standing on this corner holding up a fucking sign panhandling. And Mark Cuban went down, picked him up, and took him to a fucking rehab facility.
And paid for it.
Holy crap.
So, just remember that not all millionaire, billionaire motherfuckers...
Mark Cuban seems to me
to be a fucking fantastic
human being.
He really does.
He's just a really cutthroat businessman, really. That's it.
But you can't say
he's without compassion.
Nope.
And
Well, he was also the first guy in the NBA that started paying all his workers for the arena, started doing all that shit, setting up things for... all that crap.
Mark Cuban's good in my book.
He's been like one of the top aggravators in like the whole racial injustice going on right now.
He's been on Fox News a few times.
He's been on there.
He's the anti Jerry Jones.
Yes. Yeah. He's been very outspoken about it.
Polar opposite.
I don't have anything bad to say about Mark Cuban that I've heard.
And that's one of the reasons I'll be shifting all the money I usually spend on Cowboy merch to Maverick merch.
And
Luca makes that
one
easier.
Thing I will say, like Mark Cuban, like I've watched a lot of Shark Tank with my dad. That's one of my dad's favorite shows, is Shark Tank, which Mark Cuban's one of the sharks on.
Yeah.
When Mark Cuban does try to work out a deal or whatnot, like he actually tries to make it mutually beneficial for all parties. You know,
yeah.
Like if they ask for something, he'll ask maybe for like a smaller percentage,
yeah,
or whatnot, but still offer them the same amount of money they're asking for.
Yeah.
You know, he's
he'll give them a smaller percentage, but give them more money. I mean. Yeah, the guy's a smart businessman, but I mean, I haven't really heard anything bad to say about the guy, man.
Oh, never.
Not really.
Sure. And every time I hear his name, it's always about something that he's doing, like, for
good.
People.
Generally positive, yeah. So, you know, wish the best to Delonte West. Hopefully he can get his life back on track, because see a guy who's, I believe, a former NBA champion, he at least played in a finals or two. Well, I believe he was on that... Well, yeah, Dad. He was on that LeBron team that went to the finals.
Yep.
He was the guy that they joke about. He was close to dating LeBron's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we're going to take our second break, come back with Florida Man, famous birthdays, and take it on home.
We're touching tips.
He's addicted to embalming fluids. Holy shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus Christ. I got Todd Gurley, and he's got Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers already has 3 touchdowns, 236 yards. And it's halfway through the third. I got Todd Gurley, got 50 yards and a touchdown. I just need him to keep getting points because I'm ahead by 2.5 points.
And we're back for part 3, segment 3.
Come on, Todd Gurley, because I need you.
As we all heard, Pete is rooting for Mr. Gurley.
The Gurley man.
At the moment,
I'm taking over right now. I got you.
So, I just read a piece of news, well, it's not news, it's coming from a fairly reliable source. It sounds like Padres will announce tomorrow morning that Mike Clevinger will take the mound for Game 1 on a pitch count.
So what's his deal? Did he come into the game yet, last game injured, or is he just not like he's just not
bro,
handling
our
the
last,
pressure?
No,
or?
Our last week of the season, our number one and two starters both went out or left games with injuries.
Are they out for the season? What's the looking like on that?
Right now, it's sort of up in the air. Like if we were to make the World Series, expectations would be that both guys would be back 100%.
But that's not until we make it to the World Series.
Right now, it's still up in the air. Clevinger, it was an elbow. He got a cortisone shot and tried to throw before the wild card round, and they deemed he's not ready. He's not going to pitch in the wild card round. So, hopefully his elbow is...
See, people who can't walk on that stuff.
So, hopefully he can go for game one and Lament can go for game two. Lament. But we'll see, because we really fucking need those guys.
Indubitably.
All right, Florida man for this week. A Florida gas station owner wants people to stop warming their urine in his microwave.
What the fuck? Say that again?
A Florida gas station owner wants people to stop warming their urine in his microwave. A gas station owner in Jacksonville is extremely pissed that people keep warming their urine in his store microwave.
I like that they said he's pissed.
They walk in off the street, microwave urine in containers, and then they leave. Said on the fly, yes, that's the real name. Convenience store owner Parlu Patel. By the way, Jason, the headline for this week's Florida Man, a Florida gas station owner wants people to stop warming their urine in his microwave.
He's extremely pissed.
So it's happened multiple fucking times.
According to the television station, the store is within walking distance of a drug testing facility. So people keep he's got a sign on the microwave that says only for food, do not microwave urine.
I mean, what kind of a world do we live in that has to be a fucking sign?
I don't know. So yeah,
That's kind of funny. I'm not gonna lie.
That's
By the way,
did I mention it on? I did mention it on last week's. The Detroit man that we forgot to talk about.
Oh.
The guy jumping the fucking drawbridge.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Well, a guy in Detroit decided while doing whippets that he was.
Oh, we did talk about that. Yeah.
Yes, that he was going to jump a drawbridge in what I believe was a Dodge Neon. And he made it, but the car was fucked after that. Yeah. Okay, so unbeknownst to me, I got up this morning early and went and handled some business and came back home and took a nap. And I forgot that I told Jake to do some research for the podcast. So we both did some famous birthdays. He came in after I had three done.
We'll have both of you do it, and then that way Matt can participate.
So, yeah, exactly. So we're going to split the famous birthdays here.
We got two of the same ones, so I can take that out, and I got three that you don't have.
Boom, that'll give us six total. Sweet. So I'll start us off, and then we'll do yours after mine.
All
right. Two of mine are posthumous. We're going to start off Bernie Mac. How old would Bernie Mac be today?
Oh, would he be today?
Because he did pass away, I believe, 08.
It was around then.
So, Pete, give us an age and a net worth for Bernie Mac.
I want to say he'd be around 60. So I'm going to stick with 60. And net worth, like today's net worth or what he passed with?
It is what he passed with.
I want to say 120 mil.
Jake?
I'm gonna say 68. And he passed with 50 mil.
What'd they say, age?
60 and 58. Or 50, sorry.
60.
60 and 68.
I'm gonna say 64 and net worth.
When he died.
Oh, when he died, okay.
I said 120.
See, I'm going to say 62 million.
All right. So he was 63, and what you all failed to put into your calculations was that he didn't hit fame until late in his career. That's
true. Yeah, but he had a lot of movies come out right before.
So he was only worth 15 mil.
Holy shit. I thought it was worth
more. Yeah, because he didn't get as much for Bernie Mac shows people think he did.
Well, no, but I mean, he had like a lot of movies come out right before.
That's true. Yeah,
so that's why I was putting him up in the triple digits.
He must not got paid a lot for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is going to be an interesting one. He
spent a lot on getting manicures. I don't know.
This is another posthumous, dead guy. But I have
Gandhi.
The net worth when he died, what that net worth would be by inflation, or adjusted for inflation, okay. And then what his net worth would be today if he was still alive, based on the company that he founded. We are talking about former Padre owner and the guy who swindled the McDonald's brothers out of McDonald's.
John Kroc?
Ray Kroc.
Ray Kroc, yeah. John Kroc.
How old would that was his wife. How old would Ray Kroc be today?
Shit.
How much was he worth when he died? What do you think the adjusted for inflation at the time was? And what do you think if he still owned McDonald's today, would he be worth?
I'll shoot this one off.
Okay.
I'm gonna say he'd be 90 today. His net worth. Which net worth are we going with? Just what he
gave
me
each one. Both. Give me each one. So
when he died,
what was it actually?
What year did he die?
84.
Shit.
So when you look at the 84 Padres, they have RAK on their sleeve for Ray A. Kroc.
Shit. I don't even know for what he was worth then.
Remember, he owned McDonald's.
I know. I'd say when he died, he was probably worth 500 million.
What would you adjust that for today's money? I know this one's a little difficult, but it's 8 interesting.
8 billion, probably. Okay. And
if what would he be worth if he still owned McDonald's today?
Probably close to like 50 billion.
So we're doing 3? Okay, shit.
Okay.
So I'll go with age wise. Oh, fuck. 87. Screw that. We're going to go with 93. And when he died, I want to say 240 million.
Adjusted
to today would be I'll say like a bill and a half. And then if he still owned McDonald's, Whack Arnold's. I want to say probably like 3 bill, or no, I'm sorry. I'll put that up to 5 bill.
And keep in mind, that's assuming he didn't still own the Padres. But
yeah.
Age, net worth when he died, what it would be inflated to today, and what he would be worth today if he still owned McDonald's.
That's a lot.
I know.
His age, I would say 85. Net worth when he died, 80s. 320 million. Just for inflation. Yeah, that's got to be close to double these days. Around that. I'm going to say 520 mil. And what would he still be worth if he owned McDonald's? Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to remember what. See, I don't remember the steak yet.
Didn't he have the full steak in it?
At his time, I believe so.
He had the majority, yeah.
I don't think it was publicly traded when he died.
Yeah, I got to say 4 bill.
Okay, Ray Kroc would have been 118 years old.
Oh, shit, yes.
Born in...
I said 97.
Yeah.
92 or 93.
That's born in 1902.
Damn.
He was worth $600 million when he died, so you were only $100 million off.
Damn.
That adjusted is $1.4 billion, so you were only $0.1 billion off.
So a million or and, whatever. 10 million.
Basically, the way we did this was McDonald's today is worth $18 billion.
Oh, shit.
So would I have been closer on that one, too?
I believe so. You all went real low.
I said $1.5 billion.
No, I went fucking
low. He went $5 billion. You went, no, I think you went way over on the bill.
No, I said you'd be like,
you said like $8 billion, I think.
8 to 12, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you are the closest.
And he was, hey, how much is it?
18.
Jesus Christ.
All right, my last one.
Lordy.
Kansas City Chiefs tight end, Travis Kelce. How old did he turn today? And what is he worth?
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Let's let Jason take off with this
Jason,
one.
Travis Kelce, tight end, Kansas City Chiefs.
31. Net worth. $5.5 million.
See, the question you got to ask yourself.
Wait,
are we saying what is his
did
contract
he sign,
worth?
Did he sign his? Did he sign something new after?
I think he did, and that's why I'm trying to remember.
And then you got to figure out if he did sign another contract after.
Are we
his
counting
rookie,
how much
was
the contract?
Basically, it would no. It would be only the guaranteed
what he has right now.
Money.
For the whole contract, though.
Yeah, right. I'm still saying $5.5 million.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it for the full contract?
Or are we talking about guaranteed money
of the contract, or are we talking about what he actually has?
We're talking about what
right
he's
now.
Already been paid, what he's worth. The contract is not, I believe, taken into
effect. Like his future
effect.
Money, we're not counting. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. That's what else.
I'm going to say $5.5 million still. I don't think he's made as much.
I'm going to go 32. I think Jason hit right on the money. But I'm going to say $12 million. Oh, wait. Hold on. Are we talking about, like, when he's been paid total for the contract? I'm going to say $18 million.
When did he enter the league?
Probably, like...
If I had to guess...
No, that's cheating. That's cheating.
Yeah,
that's
not,
cheating.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cheating.
I'm going to say 30 and 10 mil.
So, you got it on the money. He's 31 years old, and you were 2 mil off. He's worth 20 mil.
Right? Yep.
So, there we go. The floor is now... Jake O's for the second half of Famous Birthdays.
All right. So, for the first one, I have Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
I'm going to start us off. I'm going to say he's 56 years old, and he's worth $15
million. 15? Is that what you said? All right.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with what I
what
said
was the
first.
Age again?
56.
I'm going to go...
World-renowned physicist Neil deGrasse 50. Tyson.
I'm going to go 50. And I'm going to say he's worth... $2 million. I don't think he's making that much.
Jason?
It all depends on what he's made off books that he's fucking...
I didn't even think of that.
And then also, you know he does speaking engagements.
Damn it.
Let's give Pete another. Well, let's give Pete another chance.
Let me. I'm gonna adjust it to 10 mil.
Okay.
I'm gonna say 50. What'd they say?
I said 56.
Said 50.
He hasn't gone.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Not.
I'm,
he's
I'm
not
right.
going.
I'm gonna say 54, and then net worth. I think he's worth like 30 mil because. Cosmos too.
Books and speaking engagements and shit like that.
Are you ready for the shocker?
Oh.
Today, Neil deGrasse Tyson turned 62.
Holy shit.
Damn.
You look young.
Black don't crack. Yeah.
And then who guessed the lowest money amount?
I originally did and I should have stuck with it apparently.
You still did.
I went
it.
Way too high, yeah.
You still did at 10.
Oh, did I?
5 mil.
You had it right on.
Yeah.
I was no, like, you said 2.
I
begin.
Said 2, but yeah. Yeah. Like, I'll go
to. All right.
I'm surprised he's not worth more, but I mean, how much
yeah. Honestly,
do physicists make generally?
Yeah.
Maybe he is. He's probably on the
he's
highest
on the high
end,
end
for
yeah.
a physicist.
But I mean, if you're talking about not, I'm taking away his books and taking away his speaking engagements and stuff like that, and like his movie appearances, whatever. As far as like just what he's making from the country, like working as a physicist, I'm guessing like he's under 500 grand or 500.
It's still good money, but
it's
not
still good money. Don't get me wrong, I would love to make
the
under
celebrity status is why he's over a million.
Yeah,
and the fact that the TV shit and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's doing TV, he's doing movies. But, all right,
so the last two are both retired hockey players.
Oh,
didn't you have Kate Winslet as well?
Yeah, I did.
I never actually saw her age, just that she was on there. So we can do Kate Winslet as well.
All right. Well, Kate Winslet, how old do you think she is, and how much do you think she's worth?
I'll start this off. 48, and worth 40 mil.
Boy,
I would guess that in. She's Rose from Titanic, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would guess she was in her early 20s when she did that role. That was late 90s.
96.
I'm going to put her at 39 years old. And let's say 25 million.
Jason?
I'm going to say she's 42 and 35 million.
So, you're closest on age. She's 43. What was the money amounts again?
25 from me.
I did 50.
I think I said...
You said 38, 35.
35 or something like that.
50 is closest at 60 mil.
She's done nice.
She's done more money than I thought she was.
Yeah. All right, so Patrick...
I thought it was over.
She's still getting fat rolls.
So, Patrick Waugh.
You know,
so, Patrick Waugh, who just so happens to also be my favorite hockey player of all time. Age and what's he worth?
I have no idea. 45.
Age-wise?
45 is what I'm going to go with on age. And, God, I don't know what hockey players make. He had a lengthy career. I'm going to say 18 mil.
Jason?
That's probably fucking super high.
I'm going to say 48 and...
I don't know hockey player contracts.
I want to say, I think he's...
Especially the time frame in which he played. Yeah. How long has he been retired?
17 years?
Yeah, I'm going to say 12 mil.
I probably went too high at 18.
Do you want to give it a shot, or...
I'm just going to shoot in between... What did you say for age?
I said 48. 45, he said 48.
I'll go 46. And, 10 mil.
Whatever. All right, Jason's closest age-wise, he's 55 today. And he's worth 45 million.
Wow.
Because you also got to take into effect, he also started coaching... afterwards, and he still coaches for Colorado Storm.
I'm sure he has some nice advertising stuff in Canada.
Oh yeah.
And then, the cities he played in. I'm sure he makes decent money off of ad revenue.
Right. And then the last one I have is Mario Lemieux, also a retired hockey player.
Okay, so same time frame of play. Yep. I'm going to say he's 54 years old and worth 50 million.
All right, Jace Holm? Or Pete, either one?
Mario Lemieux, famous Pittsburgh Penguin, played around the same time as Patrick Waugh.
I'm going to go 53 and 42 mil.
Yeah, I'm going to say 54 and...
I think I said 54.
You did say 54.
52. And then I'll say 35 mil.
He's 55 as well. Matt's also close. Or how much did you say?
I said 35.
Matt's close is also 150 million.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's also a partial owner of the Penguins.
Well,
I didn't know that part.
I imagine that he's like a forward or something like that, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
imagine they get paid more than goalies.
Yeah, he was a star player.
Right. Okay. Pete, I don't know if we did this last time you were on, but we like to give a suggestion of a movie, a TV show, and a documentary for our fans to watch. And I say fans as if there's not more than... 15 people.
It's rather gracious of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so say it again.
So you're going to give us... We'll start it off. We'll give you a little time to think of it because you didn't know about this going in. But we give a suggestion of a TV show, a movie, and a documentary. If you don't want to do all three, You don't have to.
And you can do it from anything, like your favorites, whatever.
TV show, I'm gonna go with Scrubs.
That's good. I just binge watched all of it.
Scrubs.
I watched it all with my brother Sean twice.
I picked up like late in like probably like midway through the series and got just hooked, and I owned all of the seasons up to like 7. Once they moved to ABC, I didn't really watch it until recently. I went back and rewatched it, and the ABC stuff wasn't as good, but it was still fairly decent.
Last season was
The last season was, it shouldn't have been called Scrubs. It was a bona fide spinoff.
Yep. With cameos.
Yeah. So.
Also, this was good. My favorite person in that entire show was the head doctor.
Dr. Cox or Kelso.
Yeah. Dr. Cox.
John C. McGinley owned that role.
Hilarious.
He fucking,
every time, and, you know, just calling them different girl names every time. He's like, "Hey Nancy, hey Sherry."
And I mean the character development.
Yeah,
from
good.
Beginning to end
yeah.
of him.
Oh yeah.
Even
from
with
just
his wife,
asshole in the beginning to yeah. like human, you know, totally
depth,
humanizing
him. A lot
yeah.
of depth. Yeah.
Just a really good show. Zach Braff is fantastic. He actually does a podcast with the guy who played Turk, and they talk about different episodes, I believe is what the podcast is.
Fake doctors talking about doctors.
Yes,
it is.
Something like that. So really good. For movie. Ooh,
are we doing a genre with the movie?
No,
just whatever.
I'm gonna go with Sleepaway Camp. Did I do that last week?
Yeah, you did.
I did.
Then
Terrifier.
I have
Terrifier on Netflix. It's came out last year, and it's truly like a throwback slasher. There's a fucking killer clown named fucking Art the Clown. It's super dark and brutal, but also has its funny moments. It's just a really fantastic.
You lost me in clown.
We're going off of movies that don't have like super followings and stuff.
Anything.
Oh, anything. Okay.
Anything. And
I was just confused
for you.
For
you, since you're not here every week. If you say something we've already said, whatever, you can still say what you like about it. For documentary, last week I said Class Action Park. LA 92. I don't know if I've said that one before, but it's about the riots in LA, and it shows a lot of news footage and sort of step by step. Really a fantastic documentary that has a lot of parallels with where our country is today, and just shows that this is a systemic issue that is nothing new. It's something that is near and dear to, unfortunately, the fabric of our fucking country.
All right, so yeah, all right. I'll take a shot at this. So TV show. Right now, I'm just gonna go with The Boys, man. Like, I've been so hooked on it. Like, man, like I said earlier in the podcast today, like, I mean, within the first minute, I was hooked.
And
like,
you wouldn't consider yourself a comic book person, would you?
I mean, a little bit, but not to the extent of a lot of people that I know.
Like,
I mean,
Jason
not collecting comics like Jason.
Yeah,
or
I'm not to the point like where I have like, you know, the action figures or
you
comics
know the
and, like,
really well.
I know a lot. I know more about it than I would say like other people.
Probably more than
casuals.
I know more than the casual, but I'm nowhere near the extent of, I mean, most of my friends. it just caught me right off the bat, and I was like, man, this is like. I just love the whole fact of it. Like, I mean, it's giving like a darker image, like a possibility of how I think actually, like it would actually
how
be like having superheroes,
would be.
You know, being kind of greedy, kind of a fucking dick, and
knowing that
you know,
pretty
human
much
flaws.
Yeah, like human flaws are actually coming out of these human people. Like, I mean, you know, it
sounds. I haven't seen it. Sounds to me reminiscent of the movie Mystery Men.
No.
Way darker, not funny, and more or less, it's...
There is some humor.
There is some humor. There's a lot of funny shit in The Boys, I'll admit that.
No, but nowhere near as much as Mystery Men.
Well,
yeah.
Mystery Men is a comedy.
And where these
comedy.
People actually have
right.
superpowers, like, I mean, there's, like, basically the... I think of,
The Justice League.
Basically, it's, like, almost like an anti-Justice League, because...
You can't call it the Legion of Doom because they're not bad guys, but they're technically good guys, but they're fucking rotten people sometimes, you know?
Terrible.
Especially the guy who's like, you know, the equivalent of Superman, that guy's a fucking piece of shit.
He's the worst.
I mean, but,
Oh, and he gets so much worse.
Character is just so, like, and he's just developing more, like, I mean, it's got you hooked, and, I mean, it's coming down to the point where, like, Fridays, I'm like, hell yeah, I get to watch a new episode. I mean, I actually kind of like the fact that Amazon also did that, too, where they're releasing it every Friday. Don't get me wrong, I love binge-watching shows, but it's keeping me anticipating what's going to happen next.
I think
like, it's keeping you, like, into it.
I think that it's better when the show comes out episodically and not just...
Yeah.
If I'm watching your show, like, weekly like that, I really, really like it. The only reason I'm not with the boys is because I'm waiting for Jake these days.
But, so...
Movie?
I'm going to go with... Man, so many good ones lately.
We are in October.
I'm going to go with... recently, like, just came out. I want to say, like, I mean, I'm kind of torn. I'm just going off of what just recently came out. I think out of last year, like, straight out last year, two movies that really caught me are, you know, Joker and John Wick 3. I'm going to go with John Wick 3, though, because I love my action. I love my action shit. Dude, Keanu Reeves killed it with, you know, just the...
They're filming 4 and 5 back-to-back.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that to come out. And, I mean, just... I mean, the intense and the level that he obviously went to like, prepare for this movie...
Well, have you seen the videos?
He obviously really put in work, and it, like, really showed in the movie. I thought the whole movie was just awesome. I love how it started right after the second one. It kept everything going, and there was never a pause where I was like, man, it's starting, like... As soon as you think it's going to slow down, it finds something to
shoot you right back in. Year, yeah.
So that's why I want to stick with that one. As far as documentary, I'm going to go with the one that I saw on Netflix, Fastball.
Fastball's a great
one. I've said many times, I'm not a baseball person, but that one really kept me intrigued. And, I mean, they went back through a whole bunch of history on the fastball. Like, I mean, they went back. Part of it was them figuring out who threw the fastest pitch, you know, recorded. And it actually turned out it was, like, Nolan Ryan. For his pitch, he reached 96 on the gun, but they realized that they were shooting it at the middle between the plate and the mound, whereas before they were, or now they're going right off of where it's leaving his hands.
It's really interesting the ways that they tried to measure the speed of a pitch before they had the technology of the gun. I remember they did a stunt, basically, where...
they put two wire screens on the end of a thing, and they measured the time it took for it to go through the wires here and the wires on the other side.
Well, there was another one, Bob Feller was... They would have him throw a pitch as a motorcycle traveling at a certain speed went past him, and they would... It was this...
Yeah. Like, the extent of the documentation that his pitch beat the
motorcycle by this much time, and the motorcycle was traveling at this speed. So, you do the math and all this, and it's like,
super complicated.
I mean, yeah. But like they figured out that Nolan Ryan, when it was recorded at 96, was pitching at 106. Man, 106. That's
fastest,
friggin' crazy.
The fastest actually recorded on a gun is Aroldis Chapman.
At 103. 102.
105.
Oh, what? Okay.
105. Yep. And it was against the Padres, of course, because we always find ourselves in these weird...
That's Aroldis Chapman, who is a closer and pitches two or three innings in a game. One generally. Whereas Nolan Ryan played entire games.
For 20 years.
Oh, for God, 20 yeah. freaking years. And he was throwing it.
Pretty sure guys. Nolan Ryan today can still touch high 90s for 20, 30 pitches.
And be accurate.
Yeah.
Okay. But the other thing, too, that they were going through in the movie was, like, you know, other people that... pitchers that didn't even make it into the league, but were known, like, as, like, dark horse players. You know, like people that... Real old-school fantasy... Or, like, not fantasy, but old-school... people knew about those guys coming up, and they just never made it. And they also had Tony Gwynn in it, talking about it. He was like, oh, yeah, the Goose? He's like, yeah, I didn't like going up against him. He's like, yeah, that guy was scary. Tony Gwynn saying, he's like, oh, yeah, the Goose fucking scared the shit out of me? That's funny. But, yeah, so that would be my document.
Me?
Yes.
For documentary, I gotta go with Get Me Roger Stone. It's on Netflix. It's really relevant. It will help you navigate and understand the entire Roger Stone situation that's currently going on. It'll help you understand Trump a little bit better and that bullshit. It's actually really accurate, pretty informative, and lacks a lot of bias, in my opinion. So yeah, that's the one I'd go with. But prepare yourself, it's a fucking shit show. Let's see. TV show, I gotta go with the Harley Quinn animated show.
Oh, that was good.
On HBO Max. It's fucking fantastic. Who farted?
Not me.
No.
Nobody farted.
Yeah, with something. Oh, sorry.
Well, Kelly Kukoc, I don't know how to say her name. She's killing it as Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah. She's the show's really good. Movie, I gotta go with, well, let me look at my movies recently, because I keep track of everything I watch.
Well, while you're looking, I want to propose something, like, the week.
Extraction, with Chris Hemsworth. It's on Netflix. Huh. It's like, it plays like a Call of Duty fucking movie, Call of Duty level. That's a movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that one. That was a good one.
It's good. It's definitely worth watching.
I was going to say that after we go through this round, or after Jake goes, we do a movie or a TV show or whatever that you're looking forward to seeing soon.
Ooh. I
got to
think about that one.
The Schneider Cut.
So, Jake, it's your turn?
Yep, you're up, Jake.
Fuck. All right, so for movie, I'm going to say I will see Sleepaway Camp this week because Matt introduced me to it last night or 2 nights ago. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it, actually.
Classic 80s slasher.
I really enjoyed it. TV show, I'm going to go with Grimm because me and the wife just started watching it, and I've already watched the first season, so I just started watching it with her yesterday again. It's really, I enjoy it, but that's me. And then for documentary, I'm going to say Step Into Liquid. It's a surfing doc, but it goes into the history of surfing and everything about it, all the way back to the origins of big wave surfing in Hawaii.
So like Riding Giants?
It's essentially the prequel to Riding Giants, yeah. That was one of mine a while back, too, was Riding Giants.
That was a good one. I actually really liked that one.
I was raised by a surfer, so, you know. Yeah. My dad spent time in Hawaii when my grandpa was stationed there, so that's where he wanted to surf.
So let's go with movies or TV shows or whatever that you're looking forward to.
Oh, I can do my TV show right out of the gate. I think it's called The House of the Dragon. It's the Game of Thrones prequel.
Oh. I didn't even know that was coming out yet.
I'm going to go with the next season of F is for Family.
Ooh, good, good.
Fucking love that show.
Season 4 was fantastic. Might be my favorite.
Bill Burr is awesome.
I'm going to go with the movie, and I'm going to go with, actually, Richard Jewell, because everything
on HBO Max.
Yeah. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I just added to
my list. But, yeah, it's on my list. I just haven't gotten to it yet. But everything I'm hearing about it, like, apparently it's pretty awesome.
Clint Eastwood always makes good movies. He's a good director.
Yeah, do you know that the main actor, the guy who plays Richard Jewell, is actually Stingray from Cobra Kai?
That's fucking great. That's fucking
The guy's got range, I'll give you that. Like, that's why I'm, like, interested to see it, like. And everybody, like, I mean, even Brad Pitt's like, this guy's my favorite actor.
Yeah, no, Richard, it looked good, and I remember being a kid kind of hearing about the story, but not really knowing, paying much attention. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see
I'm looking forward to it. What are you going with, Jake?
Fuck. Shit, honestly, aside from the Schneider Cut,
I love that you say Schneider.
Schneider. Somebody named Schneider's gonna get mad at us for saying that.
Well, it's Snyder. It's Zack Snyder. It's just Seth Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
But aside from that...
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good one. apparently, like, even the actors were like, do we want this version that we originally set?
Come back in and film more scenes, so definitely know they all want to get it done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that should be... apparently, it made a big difference.
But, to be honest, like, there's not a lot... I mean, I'm still waiting for... Oh, no, I take that back. I'm excited for The Mandalorian Season 2 to come out later this month.
3 weeks.
3 fucking weeks. 25 days.
That's going to be a show every week. It's once a week. I gotta watch it. I'm not waiting. I'm not even giving anybody a chance to talk about it online. I don't give a fuck.
So, guys, just an update. I'm playing Spooz, and I am 142.22 to his 143.18.
God, that's
he's got Aaron Rodgers, who just came off the field, I believe. And I still have Gurley playing, and I'm freaking tense. I just need another touchdown from him, man.
I'm leading 122.38 to 113.12. But the only two people that he has playing is, who is this? Brian Hill.
I was like, oh, Tariq Hill played earlier, man.
He's only got 4.3 points, and don't worry about him.
Well, Pete,
Gary,
you've got 5 minutes and 55 seconds left to get another, like, 9 points.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm playing you in that one, too.
Yeah, I've got you by exactly 9 points right now.
Yeah. Damn it.
I'm losing by 2 points in my other league.
You know, I'm willing to take the hit on that and go 0-4 in that league just so I can beat Spooz, who's undefeated. Because that'll be fun. All right.
Well,
penises.
Penises go in the vaginas, hell, kids can do whatever they want to these days. I don't care.
I was like, kids lick buttholes these days all the time.
There you go. Jake.
Yes, sir.
Only consensual, though.
Oh, yeah.
Kids, do it.
Our listeners, please remember, be shiny pieces of shit.
And prolapse your anus when and where you want. Just, be safe and use discretion.
If you're going to do it regularly, I do suggest plastic, like that thick painter's plastic, just in case, you know.
Don't want to make a mess.
Accidents happen.
Yeah, accidents happen.
Pete, any final thoughts?
I hate you all.